Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to Diva Strategies for Success. I am so excited. I have a fabulous guest today. Her name is Lisa Hopkins, and let me tell you a little bit about her. Lisa Hopkins recently represented the state of South Carolina as Miss Elite South Carolina for Women of Achievement Pageant 2021. Her platform was on battling complex PTSD. She is also a flight attendant for United Air Wisconsin Airlines and a model for Bella Modeling Agency and Victoria Henley. One of the things she's very proud of is that she has one beautiful daughter named Lauren Hopkins and four precious grandchildren, Jocelyn, 9, Abby and Alex, twins, 8, and Gunner, 3. Her granddaughters are beginning to start modeling for Victoria Henley as well. One of the things that's really important to her is her story. Her story is taking off mask of pain, hiding behind a smile, and peeling the onion layers trigger by trigger to how to be able to bloom into a unique blue rose. She spoke her story through props of the two masks of Wonder Women that she won a speech award at this year's Women of Achievement pageant in Arizona, which I got to see and which was amazing. This was 5 years in the making of that speech with a speech impediment and learning disability. You would not have known it. She was just amazing. She wants to be able to share her story with others to help them heal and be transformed from trauma. Welcome, Lisa. I'm so happy to have you on the show. How are you today?
I'm good, Robbie. Thanks for having me on the show.
Tell me a little bit about your platform. What is it about, and how can it help people?
It's on battling complex PTSD, and so that is like overcoming an oncoming trauma or several different traumas. It's not just a particular one trauma, which would be just PTSD. So this is like an ongoing childhood emotional trauma that just continued to keep going and you felt like you had no escape.
So how did you choose it to become your platform?
In 2016 was my first year competing in the Women of Achievement pageant. And I actually just told Marlena, who was the director, my platform was on just helping other women. At that time, when I told her that, I didn't even know myself that I had post-traumatic stress disorder. So I think 2 weeks prior to going to that pageant, after years of counseling and going through women's group therapy, I realized I had post-traumatic stress disorder, like 2 weeks prior to going to that 2016 pageant. So I told Marlena that was going to be my platform that year. So then when I went to the pageant in 2016, I started having all of these triggers, like really overwhelming triggers I had in that pageant. So after processing that, after leaving and still continuing my counseling and my women's therapy group, I realized that I had the post-traumatic stress disorder. So I started doing the research on that, and that 2016 pageant, when I went back in 2017, my platform changed to complex PTSD.
So why is it important to take the mask off so you can begin to heal?
If you don't take the mask off, you will continue to numb the pain, but you will mask it with, mine was a smile. Some people mask it different ways, but I mask mine with a smile. I was taught from 3 years old on to smile. That was the only emotion you were allowed to show. So you can't smile when you're going through the triggers, or even when you're going through the real trauma itself. You know, my counselor kept telling me, he's like, you've got to feel the pain with the memory. And so that was the hardest thing to do. It was like, you know, and so then it got to where when I was going through my triggers and taking the smile off, then people wanted me to go back to the smile. And I was like, no, I'm not happy right now. I'm not going to smile. So you really can't begin to heal until you take that mask off and really feel. You have to feel the pain with the triggers, which is triggering the memories.
So what are triggers? People may not know what the triggers are.
They are like, with me, I really didn't know what they were until, you know, just doing a lot of therapy counseling. You will be going through something, and it's kind of like a flashback or a deja vu memory, like you've been there before. And you might not be in the actual trauma at the moment you're in it, but you're remembering, like your brain is remembering something from the past. So that's what I call triggers. And then, like when I went through counseling, the people would be like, well, did you ever experience this? Well, see, I blocked mine. I blocked everything. So I would go, I don't remember. So how do I know? You know? And then one day it just hit me. You know, this was years in the process. One day when the ladies group, I think therapy, she's like, does this feel familiar? And I'd say again, I don't remember. And, you know, and she said it again. She's like, does it feel familiar? And then it just hit me like a ton of bricks. And I'm like, yes. because I had the actual memory of the thing in the past. So when I said, when I said then, I said, I have post-traumatic stress disorder. They would never tell me I had it. But when I said it, they came and hugged me and said, I'm so proud of you. I'm happy, you know. So that was how my process was.
Yeah, a lot of people do stuff everything down and so that they don't have to remember things. So what was it like peeling the onion layers to the root?
Oh, very painful. Like I said, it doesn't start like in the beginning. And that's why when I first started with my therapist, he said he wasn't going to start with the actual trauma from, you know, 3 years old. He was going to start where I was at and work myself backwards. Well, at the time, I didn't understand. You know, it's like, why are you going to do this? And so that was when the triggers started. So, you know, the first set of triggers were stuff that wasn't as bad as the main root trauma. So, you know, and then when I worked with that and felt that pain with the tremor, you know, with the trigger, then I would have another trigger, which was another layer. Mm-hmm. And so it was working itself too. It got to that main core, which, like, you know, like even when you're peeling an onion, you're crying. You know, so,
right.
So I shed a lot of tears through. A lot of people didn't know how to deal with me, said I need meds, and I kept refusing the meds because I knew if I took the meds, I would never get the healing I needed. So, it was kind of a lonely road because a lot of people didn't know what to do with me during the time I was going through it.
Wow. Was there fear to begin this process of healing complex PTSD?
Oh, yes. Yes, most definitely.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I knew I wanted to do it because I was miserable. My life was miserable, and I just really didn't even feel like living anymore. So I knew I had to go through the process.
Yeah, that's interesting. What are the differences between emotional trauma and physical trauma?
Like I shared in my platform speech, the emotional is, you know, they're scars that you don't see. They're, you know, they could be neglect. It could be, I don't really know what you would call like a sexual abuse, if that's more emotional or physical. I really don't know. I would say my car wreck was a physical trauma that I actually have scar, you know, the only scars I have. And I do know when my therapist was telling me I had to push through the emotional scar tissue, I didn't understand that until I had my car wreck with the physical. And that was so painful. I could have been like probably disabled with my right arm if I didn't push through the physical therapy and through the scar tissue of my arm. I could have probably been disabled with that arm, but I pushed through it. So now I very little have any pain with that arm. So the emotional is different because there's no scars. Nobody sees it. And I think it's harder personally dealing with the physical arm with my emotional trauma that I have. I think it's really harder to deal with in my personal opinion, but I did understand pushing through the physical scar tissue, what it meant to push through the emotional scar tissue. It helped me understand it better.
So give us a little explanation what it means to push through the healing process of emotional scar tissue.
You just keep pushing through each trigger until you finally, if you just keep pushing and keep going to the counseling and the therapy, you will eventually have a recollection of what you're remembering from the past. And then when you remember it, you will eventually feel the pain. Like, for instance, the night before I spoke my speech, what I spoke about in the pageant about my younger brother trying to help me with my schoolwork, and I couldn't get it because I had a learning disability and he was smart. So me and the guy friend that came with me to help me, we were like fighting like brothers and sisters the night before, because he was trying to help me with the speech, get it all down pat, and he was trying to change everything, and I knew he was going to mess me up. And like that triggered that moment of me and my brother. And I had never really cried. You know, I never really knew what was like with me and my brother, if us were not like close now as an adult. And I kept like wondering and going to him, like, did I do anything? You know? So I actually had that memory the night before the speech of us like getting into it and fighting over homework. So I cried like that night. I felt that emotion and felt it with the memory the night before the speech.
Is there any process of it. Is there any time frame that each trigger takes, or it just depends on the trigger?
And I think that's why my counselor said to work backwards, because I guess he knew. I mean, I had no clue, but I guess he knew what he was doing. So just an everyday process I've seen that pretty much, because I blocked pretty much 12 years of my first 12 years, I blocked. I have no recollection of it at all. And so it's been like a 12-year process. It almost, like I'd say, really took the same amount of years, you know, to go through each little trigger. I don't know if I used it in my platform, but I have like the scar, and it each has like little pricks or like little lines going through the scars. And I think there's like 20 something. I counted it at one time. There's like 26 little of those lines. And I felt like that represented each little trauma that I had went through in those 12 years. So
wow,
that I had to peel through. Yeah.
Now that you're healed, why do you want to speak your story to others, and how do you feel it can help them?
Because I feel like a lot of people, I mean, if you can scape through life with no trauma at all, I think that's like a miracle. I think it seems unrealistic. You know, any little thing is trauma. Some people deal with trauma more so than others, but a car accident is a trauma. Anyone who went through 9/11 is a trauma. People in military experience. I have a stepbrother that's got PTSD from the military. So anybody that's been even verbally abused or neglected, or, you know, even people that grew up not knowing their parents, that's really a neglect, whether they want to admit it or not. You know, I've talked to some who says, well, how can you miss something that you never know? It's your parent. You know, you're going to miss it. So I feel like a lot of people probably go through it, you know, hopefully not to the extent as I have, but, you know, I just think it's important for complete health and for healthy relationships and healthy life. I think it's important to know, you know, that you might be struggling with it and there is help out there to push through it and then and be more healthier at the end of your life.
That's great. Tell us about, I know you want to write a book, so tell me about the book that you want to write.
The book is my journey. We have what?
I said we still have about 14 minutes.
Oh, 14 minutes. Okay, good. Take that time. Yeah, my book is basically on the journey of my healing. And, of course, in the beginning, I didn't know the extreme of the healing. But the book started out just coming from my journals. I started journaling my journey. And when I would have a memory or whatever, I would write it down in journals. When I'd have a revelation, I would write it down in journals. And I felt like, well, this needs to be out in the book. You know, like this could help other people, I think. So I've got probably like 16 journals, I think. and so I thought, well, with me and my learning disability and writing skills, or I'm bad at grammar and speaking, even I have trouble speaking, actually. So I was like, how could I ever write a book? So I've been thinking that, well, somebody just needs to help me put my journals into a book, you know, because I would have no clue where to go. And I know not every little word needs to be in the book. I don't even know how to do paragraphs, like where to stop in a paragraph and none of that. So the name of it I came up with was Faith That Does Move Mountains. I felt like that was a great name for it because I've had to have faith to go through this journey. And I would say that it's my faith that's kept me going through this journey. So I ended up naming the book Faith That Does Move Mountains. And I just need some kind of help. Yeah. I even have a little decal on my car that says Faith That Moves Mountains. So one day I would hope that maybe a movie about it.
That we had one member who could not write either, and what she did is she recorded her book and somebody took the recording and transcribed it into a book, and it took her from the time she got the idea to the time the book was published exactly 6 months.
Oh wow. Yeah, that I'm going to contact those people you've already given me reference to when I get settled down and caught up with everything. But yes, I do. I have felt strongly that it needs to be in a book. I know at one time there was a woman that was writing a movie in California, and her movie script was identical to what I wrote in journals. So she wanted to meet me and us go together, and she was going to use some of my book in her movie script. So as I was fixing to take off, I had all of my journals in like a suitcase. And I had this dream, like it was weird because I had this dream like before getting on the plane about losing a suitcase full of lots of money. Like it had like millions of dollars in it or something. I don't know. I was just saying it was millions, but it had like money in it. And I felt like just by having that dream, I would not check that bag, because I've had so many bad experiences losing bags on planes, that I would not check that bag. I made sure that bag stayed with me like the whole time. Of course, she thought it was two different stories, that hers was a story and mine was a story. And so it was funny, like flying back from meeting her, somehow or another I had like a delay or whatever, so I went and sat down, and this guy came up to me and he started talking to me, and I don't know what made me think to, I mean, he was talking to me and something asked me to ask him, like, do you know Oprah Winfrey? reason. And he was like, yes. He's like, me and her are really good friends. He's like, I'm NBC news producer or whatever, something to do associated with her. And I said, well, I have like stuff, like I have it right here. Like, I think she needs to see, you know, it was just weird. And we talked for a while. He was supposed to hook me up with her. He's like, yeah, I'll get the producers on it. And he was gonna, and he stayed in contact with me for a while. I mean, he was legit. He sent me pictures of her with Oprah, and I did research on him, and he was exactly who he said he was. And, you know, and I just felt like that was like, to me, I felt like that was like awesome, you know, like I'm going to get my book out through Oprah Winfrey. But of course it never happened yet.
Well, there's still other opportunities out there. How did you come up with the name, The Two Masks of Wonder Woman? And also, I think you told me you have your talk on YouTube. How can people listen to that?
I've already tried it. So if you just Google The Two Masks of Wonder Woman, it will pop up. So it's an easy way. There is a link, and I have my links out on social media on, let's see which social media I have it on. Actually, if you just contact me through Lisa, or you can send me a message at Lisa Calzert Hopkins is my regular Facebook page. And if you just send me a message or anything, and I can hook you up with all my social medias, is probably the easier way of doing it. But to get on the speech on YouTube, you can just Google The Two Masks of Wonder Woman, and that speech will come up. But how I came up with that was I had already done the Wonder Woman theme because people told me I looked like Linda Carter my whole life. So I had a custom-made Wonder Woman suit years ago for the pageant. And then I also had the theme of the unmasking, the blue robe and the mask that I had. I already had those two themes, but I never did them. Like, I think one year in the pageant, I did unmask from the mask out of the blue robe into Wonder Woman, but the two masks came in play because of the pandemic, actually. So it was just when I finally got healed from taking that one mask off, I had to put another mask on. So I thought that was perfect to add that into it because I did have some triggers going through the pandemic too.
Right. So what are some future things that you have going?
I've got some modeling. I've got a fashion show coming up, and I've got one coming up in May, and I've got one coming up in, that one's in Tennessee, one in Beverly Hills in April, and one in Ohio in September. I'm supposed to be going to London. They had to cancel the London fashion show this year, but I'm already scheduled. They've asked me with the Fashion Tour Life to go with them to London next year when it opens. So I'm excited about that one. I'm open to being a motivated speaker with my speech. You know, I could come share that speech anywhere now that I've got it all, you know. It took me 5 years in the making with that speech, but I would love to be able to come and share that speech with other people if they would want to have me.
Question for you. How can people reach you?
So my main social media is my Facebook, which is under Lisa Calzert Hopkins, and that Calzert is spelled Cowsert. So it's Lisa, Lisacowsert Hopkins, Hopkins. That's my main Facebook page. And then I also have an Instagram, which is lisa.c.hopkins7. That's my main Instagram page. But you could easily contact me through either one of them and send me a personal message or something, and I could send you my other links. Like, I've got like a boutique website that's actually www.uniqueblueroseboutique.com. That's my boutique website. But if you just reach me through either my Facebook or Instagram main pages, then I could refer you to the YouTube speech and my other, I've got like a Miss Elite South Carolina page. Actually, I think you could probably just put that in the search, Miss Elite South Carolina. I think that will pop up on the Facebook.
And then you said for the YouTube, they just type in the two masks of Wonder Woman, right?
Yes, yes, because I've already tried that and it works.
Yeah, that's a great speech. I think people should listen to that. Well,
yes.
I just want to say.
And I think I sent the link through you. Like, it should be on this thing, too, because I sent you the YouTube link, I believe.
Right. It's on the show description of your bio. It's right there. So
yes.
They can get it there
yes.
as well.
Yes.
Well, I want to say it's been an honor to have you on my show today, and I know the work that you're doing is going to help so many people, and I can't wait for you to get that book on. When you get the book done, we'll certainly help you turn it into a bestseller, both international and U.S. The word is you got to ask. Remember the power of asking.
Right,
sometimes
yes.
We cannot do it all by ourselves, so we need, you know, when we have a team element, it just makes it so much better. And I'm sure you know that.
Yes.
So you have anything last minute? You have like 3 minutes that you could leave a last minute message with our listeners.
Okay. Yes, I just encourage anyone who may feel that they may have post-traumatic stress disorder or even complex PTSD. Like I said, I did not know I had it myself until I was in my late 40s. If you feel like it, I am here for anyone. I'm willing to talk to anyone, listen to anyone, and refer you to where you need to go in your healing process. If you have thought that you've had something and you just couldn't put your finger on it your whole life, then you probably are struggling with a blocked memory. And that's why I want to get my story out there, because until you realize what it is, you can't get the help that you need. And there is help out there. And if I can push my way through it and now have a more healthy life in the end, then anyone can do it. But I'm here to help you work through that process. Like I said, you can reach out to me on my social media, and I'll be...
That sounds good. Give them the social media address one more time, and then we're going to have to end the show.
Okay. Yeah, so if you you can find me at Lisa Calzert Hopkins on Facebook, and that's LisaCowsertHopkins.
That sounds great. Well, I want to thank you so much for being my guest today. And the show is archived after we're finished, so people can come back and listen at any time using the same link that we sent out. And I want to thank you, and you have a great day, and good luck on getting your book done.
Thank you. Yes, I'm definitely going to reach out to those women.
And you have a great day.
Thank you. Thank
Bye
you for
now.
Having me on your show, Robbie. Bye.
Any time when you get your book closer, we'll have you back. Just let me know, okay?
Okay. Thank you.
All the way back in Alabama.
Yeah.
Beautiful state of Alabama. They're lucky to have you there.
Thanks. Thank you.
Bye-bye now.
Bye.